Richard's already had a funeral and you don't give them a second funeral. But looking at the way he was buried, he's thrown in there naked with his hands tied and shoved into a grave that was too small. Was
there are
he
burials
really?
And burials, aren't there, really?
Yeah, I mean, I imagine the Greyfriars would have said some words over him if Tudor's henchmen were there watching them do it, which, I don't know, maybe they were. Did he have a proper funeral? I don't think he did. I don't think he did. So I don't know. I don't know, do we then look at maybe giving him some kind of service to cover that? Maybe not a proper funeral, but something, so that we give him a proper reinterment. You know, I would like to see something like that.
You've basically created lots of problems.
Oh, God, I probably have. I probably have.
Thankfully, let's be honest. And of course, you know, so when just going back to those early days when the bones had been found, and then, you know, as we saw those people that saw the documentary, there was a feeling that the head was in completely the wrong place. It all took a bit of time to start to knit it together. How soon afterwards did they, because they are, I have to say, the archaeologists in this city, I would never play poker with them. They have the best poker faces ever. Yeah. At what point did Richard Buckley and the rest of them kind of give you a nod and think, DNA notwithstanding, we reckon it's him?
I had two nods, strangely. When we first exhumed him, you know, I kind of really thought it was him, but the scientist said, you can't say anything, we have to get him back to the lab, we have to check, we have to look, we have to... And we had an open day not long after that, and I couldn't say a thing. Now, that was really hard. That was really tough. But then, obviously, the scientists looked at him and explained that he didn't have kyphosis. He had scoliosis, which was completely different. So that was my first heads up. But then I think in terms of the second huge amount of analysis, they did keep me informed all the way along. Yeah. But you know what the big one was for me? Mm. And I told them so. It was the carbon-14 dating. That was the biggie. That was the one. Yeah.
Because that was the one over which it all stood up or fell down.
Totally.
If it had been 200 years previous...
End of.
That's it.
Game over. No matter what we think, it wouldn't have been Richard.
You could have argued till you were blue in the face, but it would just have been wrong time frame.
Yep. Totally. So when we got that result in, I actually had sweaty palms. To be honest, I've never had sweaty palms in my life. That day I did.
What an amazing story. Well, I mean, you mentioned your friends that have come down to Leicester, and no doubt you've shown them around and stuff. What do friends and family make of all of this? I mean, they must be thrilled.
They're thrilled, but you know what? They're knocked out by Leicester. They walk this area, the old city, and the lanes and the shops, and they get a sense of what Leicester is and the friendliness of the people. You know, you walk down the streets and you'll get, and this is before anybody knew me, you'll just get the nods, hello, and the... All right, darling, stuff like that, you know. So, yeah, I think they really like it. So I think there's going to be more visits to Leicester.
And what's next for you? I mean, presumably in the short term you'll be up and down between Edinburgh and Leicester quite often. But I sort of casually remarked that you're writing the film, and that's a massive undertaking in itself.
It is, yeah. We've got a TV serial which is kind of there. That's already done, and that's getting a lot of interest. But we now want to really focus on getting the movie script ready, because we think it's about time he had his moment on the silver screen.
Who's going to play him? It's been a worldwide global question. And there's somebody with the name Richard at the beginning of it that seems to be talked about a lot.
Yep. Uh-huh. I first met Richard Armitage in 2005 when he read the script then. He was on board straight away. Mm. And I can't see past him yet. I can't see, you know, and I know people have said he's tall.
Is he still on board?
Yeah, he's still on board. He's definitely still on board. He's pitching it in LA as we speak. So, but, you know, we've got a long way to go. And people have said he's too tall, but, you know, he's just played a dwarf. So, you know, there's things you can do.
Well, I was about to say, actually, you know, that's kind of slightly irrelevant. Going for a film like that, of course, is an appallingly difficult thing to go through. But boy, oh boy, finding the bones of the lost monarch at the same time and being able to say this is the interest that we have in this man and his story must creak open some Hollywood doors, doesn't it?
It is. It is. It's starting to do it. And we've got a major distributor on board now who are out there pitching it. Wow. So it's fingers crossed time, because I think if we're going to do it, it's going to be now or never.
And as far as the writing goes, I mean, it you know, you shouldn't be defined by your search for Richard III, because you are a writer first and foremost, and you were writing before you'd ever picked up that biography of Richard III.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that passion come from?
I think it's seeing stories that are out there that they never tell. And it's like, why do they keep repeating the same old, same old, same old? You know, I think what fascinates me is I love stories that challenge our perceptions of established truths. That's where my heart is. That's where I'm at. So I love any story that really puts a bomb under someone's world. And with Richard, you're putting a bomb under a lot of the historian's world. So I'm quite intrigued in doing that.
And you're absolutely right. And of course, there were all sorts of questions going to be asked, weren't there, about if the facial reconstruction was dramatically different from the contemporary or near contemporary portraits of Richard III, that was going to create almost unholy mayhem throughout the art world as far as medieval art goes, as to whether it was figurative or realistic and all that kind of stuff. So actually, when that facial reconstruction appeared, and you know what it looks quite like, actually really very like those portraits, boy oh boy, that you know, again, that put a confirmation into a different area of research and a different passion, that of medieval art.
It did. It changed things again. And I think for me, going in search of the real Richard III, that was the biggest moment for me, because there I was, face to face with the real Richard III. And, you know, the evil portraits that the Tudors had touched up and everything, and given him slanty eyes and a meany mouth and, you know, funny pointed thumbs. So to see him without that on him, and to see the three-dimensional Richard, was just... well, it was knockout. I was blown away.
That must have been quite an odd experience to having gone through that, seen the bones and that kind of thing, and then see the facial reconstruction in 3D. And the way it's done is, you know, is even better than a waxwork in a sense, is it's that realistic. What happened to you? What went through your mind when, you know, they exposed that to you?
When they revealed it to me, they had to take me in because I had my eyes closed. I mean, people have said to me, were they holding you up because you were going to faint? And I'm like, no, I just had my eyes closed. But I'd psyched myself up because I thought, you know, am I going to see a face that I'm just not going to recognise here? So when they revealed it, it was a moment of, you recognise him, but you don't recognise him. It's he's the 30-year-old man again. He's the young man, the vigorous man that we knew from the historic record. And there he was, looking at me. So that was just that was top moment, actually. The whole of this project so far, that was the top moment.
Has the project been all you wanted it to be?
Do you know what it has? And it's just gone tick tack toe. It has been the strangest thing. Everything that we needed to happen did happen. And I know I've said this before, but I absolutely believe that you know, Richard was ready to be found, that he wanted to be found. You know, that the time was right, that with our sciences, our academics, that we can now really, really start to understand this man's story. And I got some even better news from sort of Channel 4 and Darlow Smithson the other day, in that they're just about to sign on the dotted line for the second documentary. So the real Richard III is going to get out there.
And you know, it does strike me I've heard you say before that you thought it was time. And actually, you know, if you start to extrapolate that statement out, his mitochondrial line was, you know, within a generation was going to be gone. Lots of redevelopment going on in Leicester. You know, it wouldn't have taken much for an extension or a new pipe to have gone through that car park, you know, as the grammar school was being redeveloped, to have gone through it out of context. Who would have known who it was? I mean, there's all sorts of stuff that's on the verge of happening that could have taken it away forever.
Yeah, I mean, we did feel we were against a ticking clock in a sense, because I could see that the grammar school was up for development, and we knew that area was huge importance. And I'd also heard that maybe the social services, the whole of the place was going to be sold and they'd move out to another. So talk about biting fingernails, but thank heavens Sir Peter gave us the okay to dig the car park in August. Yeah.
Wow. Well, what an extraordinary experience. And as far, I mean, I know that you must have done 100 interviews in the last week with people from all over the world. What's the general tenor? Are people genuinely just astonished?
I think they're astonished, but I think they're now getting really fascinated about this man. They want to know more. They want to know, what is this dichotomy between the evil, evil man or the good Lord? And, you know, for me, as a member of the Richard III Society, even as a screenwriter, bring it on.
Of course, from the Richard III Society. I mean, what's it? 3,500 members all over the world. They're kind of fighting your corner too, I would imagine.
Yeah, they are. They are. All we've ever said is, look, please let us put the facts out. Let us get the facts out there. Mm. It's really odd. I don't know what it is, if it's an establishment thing or what it is, but the real facts are never allowed to be put out there.
Well, particularly not when the biggest spin doctor of them all is William Shakespeare.
Yeah, I think maybe that's got something to do with it. So we're going to start talking now. We're going to start telling them, you know, like the third prince. Nobody knows about the third prince. So we're going to start telling them about him and what happened to him and, you know, go from there.
I hate to tell you, we've had an email in from abroad, and do forgive me if I'm pronouncing your name completely wrong, but it's from Meike Vinken. It says, although situated near Aix-la-Chapelle in Germany, since last Monday I daily listen to BBC Leicester and I really love your shows. Philippa Langley did a great job, and hearing of her story really gave me the heebie-jeebies. Well, it's given us all the heebie-jeebies. Perhaps when she finished her work with Richard III, she's willing to write a book or screenplay about Charlemagne. His burial is still to be found as well.
They're throwing the gauntlet down now, aren't they?
You're not kidding. I could see you travelling the world in search of monarchs and, you know, that kind of thing. I guess, though, that this is the biggie for you, isn't it?
This is the biggie, but strangely enough, there is another project attached to this in search of.
Are we allowed to know?
Can't tell you anything.
Oh,
more.
Come
Can't
on.
Can't tell you anything. I haven't pitched it to Channel 4 yet. But yeah, it's another funny experience that I had. And
In
yeah.
Leicester? No, come on!
Ish.
Around in the county.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Uh-huh.
Connected to Richard III, just sort of obliquely.
Obliquely, yes. Yeah. But might be important for his story.
Philippa, what a pleasure talking to you this afternoon. I've no doubt we'll talk. I hope we talk more again in the future. But it's a great pleasure. And thanks for coming and spending time with us this afternoon here at BBC Radio Leicester.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you.
She would never say where she came from.